Welcome to the Crime Scene Time Machine. As always, I'm your host, Scott Roeder, and I love you, planet Earth. On today's episode, we are taking a step back from the phenomenal and inexplicable reality-changing evidence of potential non-human beings among us. And we're going to be stepping into the world of botched homicide / suicide investigations. Warning, the following material is graphic in nature and describes murders, injuries, suicides, sexual situations, and deceit and botched evidence. This is not for the weak of heart. Because the issue that we face as humans on this beautiful planet Earth is negativity that leads to physical harm, loss of life, and emotional scars for everyone involved. Several years ago, I investigated a case of the death of Rebecca Zahal, a young lady in San Diego, California, who was found hung by the neck, naked, bound, her legs and arms behind her back with boat rope, hung from a second-story window with signs of sexual assault. And it was ruled a suicide. We did that investigation. It's on my YouTube channel, Crime Scene at Scott Roeder, or Scott Roeder at Crime Scene. Just try to find it. It's there. It's actually my number one watched video on my channel. It's a tragic case. There has been some updates in the case. I just talked to Doug Lohr, the husband of Rebecca's sister, who is going through some medical problems right now. And I want to wish you the best of health and the best for your family, because you guys are great people and I love you guys very much. But that case, you know, will never be satisfactorily resolved. And just a quick recap. What I believe the evidence suggests happens is that Rebecca was married, or not married, but we're living with this gentleman, Shaq Nye, in San Diego, a very wealthy millionaire, billionaire kind of guy. CEO of some big company. That's not really relevant right now. But he had a son, and Rebecca was watching his son. And this young boy had a tragic accident and fell off of his scooter inside of the three-story mansion that they lived in over a railing and fell, you know, some 30 feet, 28 feet, and he died. And it was absolutely tragic. And I think that everybody blamed Rebecca for that, or Rebecca blamed Rebecca for that to some degree. Obviously, who wouldn't feel guilty if that happened, you know? Whether it's your fault or not, you would, you know, I mean, I couldn't even imagine the horror. But obviously, she didn't do anything wrong. The kid had an accident, and it's a terrible tragedy, and that's where this story starts. The second part of the story is that in the 3 days that it took the young child to die at the hospital in intensive care, so on and so forth, Mr. Shaq Nye, Rebecca's boyfriend, brother, came to town, to San Diego from St. Louis, I think. Where I believe he, in revenge for what he perceived to be her fault that his nephew died, raped and killed her. And he got away with it. And it's a terrible story. All right, well, the second story we're going to talk to today about is the case of Nadine Hogg. in Australia. Beautiful young lady. Was found with her wrist cut so deeply that no one could possibly have done that to themselves. In addition to that, she was found in the shower with inconsistent blood spatter evidence outside of the shower, which indicated arterial spurting. Go to the YouTube channel. We have a video up there, The Death of Nadine Hogg. You can also look it up on Channel 7 Australia, where there was a three-part series, I think, about that case. She had no reason to kill herself. She was just getting with a new boyfriend. She was healthy. She had everything to live for. She had a beautiful family. Shout out to her sisters. They're beautiful people, amazing advocates for the truth. And still no justice to this day yet. Anyway, she was murdered in the shower, and it was made to look like a suicide. And the inept investigation, 7 years later, I guess it's been now. She even scribbled on the wall, "He did it." Can you believe that? She even, in her dying moments, was able to write on the bathroom tile, "He did it." And he did do it. And the man is going to come around for that man sometime soon, whether in this world or the next. But I think you see the theme that we're going with here today. It's a very serious subject. Fortunately, there are great advocates out there. Mostly the family members of the deceased themselves are the ones that push investigations to the point where the undeniable evidence cannot be dismissed any longer. The truth will eventually come out. Now, whether or not people get held accountable for it is a different story that has to do with local rules of politics and lawyering and the many, many factors. I personally can't do anything to affect the outcome, although we can just try to demonstrate the facts in an objectively, scientifically certain way as possible. And that's what we try to do. And I believe that's what we did for Rebecca Zahal. I believe that's what we've done for Nadine Hogg. And I believe that's what we've done for Amy Sherlock, the widow of X Games gold medal skateboarding icon, longboard champion, Michael Biker Sherlock. We're putting up a video today on the YouTube channel, Biker Sherlock. He was found with a single gunshot wound in his mouth on a beach in La Jolla, California. Again, this man, 40-some years old, prime of his life, had everything to live for, beautiful wife, beautiful children. He had a blooming business. There's no reason he would have killed himself. He did, however, suffer from concussions from his career as a skateboarding champion. He did the downhill luge skateboarding champion, I think, at the X Games. Over, 110 miles an hour on a skateboard, 3 inches off the ground. 110, could you imagine the balls it takes to do that? It's crazy. But he was a champion at it. And what a cool guy, what a great dad, and what a loss for the community in Southern California that this guy is, you know. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit here. And then we're going to push you over to the YouTube channel, which is where the Biker Sherlock case is going to be. It's only, I think, 3 minutes long, 3 to 6 minutes long, the video I made. It's not commentary at all. It's a scientific breakdown of the physical and forensic evidence, body position, bullet trajectory, other injuries that indicate this was not a self-inflicted gunshot wound, but this was a mugging and a murdering, most likely of somebody who then forged his signature and stole his family's fortune. You know, sometimes, you know, the UFO subject is easier because, you know, there's a chance that it's just not real, right? Although we've proved that, I think, that some situations are definitely real. The one in Las Vegas is real, I think. What real means, I guess I don't know that yet. What is the real thing that it means? We don't know, right? That's the question. Who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? And I think, you know, people get confused sometimes, you know, with the way I do my podcast because we mix a lot of things together, you know. We're not strictly a true crime show in that we just talk about true crime. This is just who I am and what I do. And if you like it, I'm, you know, really happy about that. And please go to patreon.com/crimescenetimemachine. And you could support our non-profit program by buying us a cup of coffee. $8. And you know what? I'll even send you a brand new Crime Scene Time Machine trucker hat. Pretty cool stuff. I love it. I'm actually going to... Mine are coming next week. So we'll get those out to you. Patreon.com/Crime Scene Time Machine. $8. Sign up. And then, you know, if you sign up, I'll even do a show for you. You know what I mean? You have your own personal crime scene expert doing a show about what you want for only $8. What do you think? That's a pretty good deal. We'll see what happens. So I think that's all I have to say today, except try to find me on YouTube, Scott Roeder at Crime Scene on YouTube, or just try to type in Crime Scene Time Machine, or go to patreon.com/crimescenetimemachine, and you'll be able to see the Nadine Hogg case. And I did that with Ross Coulthart. He was the investigative journalist. Oh my God, the balls on Ross. He doorstopped we think the killer of Nadine Hogg. Oh, he doorstopped him out, man. He has no fear. This guy's good. This is before the UFO stuff. Ross, you know, he was tracking down bad guys on the street with me, you know. He's a good guy. But now it's all UFOs. I don't know. What do you guys think out there about the official disclosure movement, you know? Christopher Mellon, Lou Elizondo, this new guy, Joyce and Sands, you know? Are they all just like David Wilcock with the blue chicken alien guy, you know? Or is it all like the, you know, the other guy? The abductions, you know? Because I think it's interesting. The UFO subject is interesting, and that's why I waffle between murder and UFO, because what can I say about the murder business other than in another episode on why people suck? Next case, right? But at least with the UFO subject, you know, there's a mystery there. you know, but it's definitely interesting because you have got a couple of factions with it. You got the people that just want to look at the nuts and the bolts, right? They say, oh, it's a ship, it's a Bob Lazar, it's the sports car model, it's, you know, it's a physical thing, right? I think a lot of people are fascinated on the physical thing that it is. The, space age, space-time continuum technology. And there's a couple of angles on that. Like, the one angle on the technology aspect of the UFO phenomenon is that it's such great technology that it has to be turned into a weapon of full spectrum dominance for profit, for the benefit of none, which is, I think, the case. And then the other aspect of it is this technology could free us from our slavery of the servitude to money and wages. which it most likely would. But then people say, well, but if you imagine if everybody had a spaceship, yeah, people would be exploring the universe. That's what would happen. People wouldn't take the spaceship and run it into the White House. Fuck that. If I had a spaceship, I would not run it into anything, for one. I'd take the spaceship, and I'd go into the solar system, and I'd be like, hey, what's going on over here in Venus? Right? Would you go bomb something with your spaceship? You know, I wouldn't. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would anybody do that? If you had a spaceship, Earth would be just a stop. Not to blow it up, but you'd be like, hey, I want a glass of milk or something. You know what I mean? I want to see a ball game. Jeez. I don't know. So I don't buy the whole, if everybody had a spaceship, the world would be crazy. No, one, we wouldn't be in the world. We'd be in the universe. And you know how small the Earth is compared to what you could explore out there with a spaceship? Bro. Except the only problem is the other part of the phenomenon with regard to the UFOs. And that is, who's driving them? Where are they from? Why are they here? What do they want with us? And why are they so sneaky? Why do they always come in the middle of the night, creeping around, looking in your window, fiddling with your bunghole? I'm sorry, Whitney Strieber. But that's funny. It's funny. I mean, it's not funny. It's not funny. It's absolutely not funny. But I've got to urge everybody in the world to look up the Whitney Strieber. Am I saying his name right? Whitney Strieber. He's a writer out of New York who got abducted by aliens and, like, sexually penetrated by this alien, you know? And been visited all the time. I mean, he's still telling stories about that to this day. You know, and his wife died. Now he thinks his wife's an alien. It's insane. It might be true. I have no idea. But that's the other part, is the abduction phenomenon. Dr. John Mack, you know, Harvard professor, interviewed hundreds of people who said they had been abducted by aliens. And Dr. John Mack, pretty smart guy, Harvard tenured psychiatrist. I believe he proved that none of these people were lying. It wasn't mass hallucination either. Like, these people actually were abducted by aliens. You know? And then he just gets run over by a train in Europe. Yeah. Right. Something fishy about that. Anyway. And then the other aspect of the phenomenon with regard to the UFOs is the consciousness community, which I love the consciousness community. I hope I'm part of the consciousness community. I know I'm not part of the nuts and bolts community. I'm definitely not part of the abduction community. I don't think I'd be invited in the consciousness community, but anyway, I feel like I'm more identified there. And that is through the investigation of the extraterrestrial consciousness, you can grow. You can be a better human. We can have a better world on Earth. And it's kind of nice. It's kind of like a New Age hippie. It's really nice. But sometimes it gets a little sun language-y for me. And but then again, you know, I was raised Catholic, so, you know, I'm a Christian. Christ, I believe in Jesus Christ. Whatever that means. I know what it means to me. What it means to other people, I don't know. Everybody's got a weird perception of that, you know, relationship. Still figuring it out myself. So that's that. That's the third part. So, you know, you've seen what you're getting here at the Crime Scene Time Machine. We're bringing it all. We're going to try to talk it all. I want to give a great shout out to who I can call my friend now and colleague in the International Association for Investigative Investigators, Mr. Gray Owl. Yep, they're in Canada. Hey? Oh, Gray Owl. He's like one of a kind. He calls me the Rotinator. Somehow I always feel like he talks with a Boston accent, but he's from like Northern Canada. Eh, I don't know. Maybe that's kind of the same, you know? He's been helping out on the, not helping out. He's a man in his own regard. He's got his own channel. Go find him. Gray Owl on Rumble. Gray Owl on YouTube. He's a good one. He makes the funnest videos. Oh my God. He made a video for me. My very first video. Nobody ever made a video for me before. But he made a video for me. It was so great. Where he did like this thing, Crime Scene Time Machine. But he put me as like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future. It was brilliant. It was flipping brilliant. So anyway, go look up Gray Owl on Rumble, Gray Owl on TikTok, I guess. And Gray Owl on YouTube. He's a one of a kind over there. So here's a shout out to Mr. Gray Owl. And I got to have you on my podcast, okay? Let's finally get our schedules together. I don't know if you want to remain anonymous and just go with the voice interview, or if you want to go on my YouTube channel and be interviewed. It's up to you, Gray Owl. I'm serving it over to you, brother. Let's find a time. Let's make it happen. And a big shout out to my good friend over there at Extraterrestrial Reality and the Quirk Zone, none other than the mustached man himself, Mr. James Quirk. He is a bulldog in the China shop of UFO disclosure, bringing down the truth hammer on all of these governmental officials. He's great. And been working with me really closely on this Las Vegas alien thing. Make sure you check out Jim Quirk over there at the Quirk Zone on YouTube and Extraterrestrial Reality, anywhere you get your favorite podcast. And on behalf of everybody here in the greatest location in the nation, Cleveland, Ohio, I'm Scott Roeder, and I love you, Planet Earth. See you next time.